7 Mary 3 and 4 responding.
10-4, 7 Mary 3.
Good evening, Mr. Motor Cop from MotorCopLog.com. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well, Mr. Medic. How are you?
I am very well, actually. Had a nice shift yesterday. Good shift last night. Home today. Enjoying some time with the family. And yourself, is Omega here yet?
Negative. Still cooking comfortably. I've been home for the past 2 days nursing a little bit of a sore back, but I'll be back at it tomorrow.
Oh, the poor baby.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, you know.
Did you hurt your back climbing on and off the bike? Is that what the problem?
Actually, I believe the injury stemmed from the parade on the 4th of July. All that clutch work kind of warped its way up into my shoulder area.
Really?
Indeed.
That's how you're going to go? That's how you wrote it up?
No, I didn't write it up as a work-related because I'm not a giant cat. Oh, see how I worked that back in?
That was very nice. Now, as folks have probably noticed from their iTunes feed, this is not a regular podcast, folks. We do this whenever we have time.
Or want to.
There have been, agreed, there have been lots of nights where we've had time and haven't wanted to. But, Mr. MC, you just sent me a link via Skype here. While I read this link, why don't you fill the folks in on what I'm reading?
Well, actually, I stumbled upon this through police1.com, and the title of the article is DC Firefighters to Patrol High Crime Areas. Now, as soon as I saw that, I thought to myself, oh, man, I'm going to nut happy right up. So, yeah, basically, it's the geniuses in DC have decided to have their local hose jockeys on some of the most dangerous corners in the neighborhoods. Until the wee hours of the morning, apparently deterring crime. And if they see something, some shenanigans afoot, they have their radios and their cell phones. So they'll be perfectly fine, right? I mean, you'd do that, wouldn't you?
Well, it says here, according to Lon Walls, spokesman for DC Fire and Emergency Medical Services, that's DC FEMS, by the way. That's their new name. I didn't know if you noticed that. Sometimes a, quote, uniform presence can be a deterrent. Back me up here, MC, but a uniform presence is not a deterrent. An unarmed uniformed presence is not a deterrent. An armed uniformed presence is a deterrent.
I would almost say an armed presence sometimes is not a deterrent. We're talking about DC for crying out loud, not middle America.
What I'm trying to say is if someone turns the corner in a car and says, we're going to go rob that liquor store, when they see the fire engine, they're not going to say, whoa, let's call this off. Let's think. If they turn the corner and see a police car, that's exactly what they're going to do. No, now's not the time. This is most certainly outside of the not only job description, but training for the fire department. I believe Mr. Blart, mall cop, would be better suited than sending firefighters to the corner. Literally, all we can do, folks, is take cell phone pictures and call 911. Anybody can do that.
If you're taking cell phone pictures of a violent crime in progress – you don't think that they're going to want to do something about that, the guys perpetrating that crime, by the way?
Absolutely not. They're not even going to notice that we're there.
No, yeah, that big red truck is incredibly inconspicuous.
Yeah, and especially since you're going to have firefighters standing outside that big red truck until they get a run, which DC is one of the busier systems in the country, these guys aren't going to have time to stand on the corner and deter crime. They're going to be busy responding to incidents where crime has occurred and someone's been injured. So this entire idea is just ridiculous. Now, I worked for a system long ago that proposed this because we were a public safety model where the police officers were trained as firefighters and our uniforms were so similar, people really couldn't tell the difference. in this community, an ambulance could pull up and an armed police officer get out. So their idea was, well, if everybody thinks they're in there, why don't we just send these vehicles around and kind of spread everybody nice and thin and see what happens? And unfortunately, where I was, the union was more or less useless. There was nothing the union could do to try to protect us. And it actually took a few of the officers standing up and saying, these firefighters and EMTs don't know what they're doing. We're better off getting high school kids in bright yellow shirts to stand on the corner and take suspect descriptions.
That makes much more sense to me. One of the things in the article that made me laugh was the deputy mayor for public safety says that we wanted to use our resources wisely and strategically. We are not putting firefighters at any additional risk. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I think it enhances their ability to connect with a community. Who are you connecting with at 3 a.m.? The community should be asleep.
I think what Mr. Paul Quander needs to realize is that when we're doing CPR on your mother, that's how we enhance our connection with the community, not by standing on the corner and waiting for something bad to happen. I wonder if Mr. Quander supports putting tow trucks at busy intersections instead of fixing the signal. Who on earth thought up, hey, I have an idea to deter crime? Firefighters.
It's a stroke of brilliance, really. I mean, I
have a better idea. How about mailmen? How about meter maids? How about the Channel 4 News? Why don't we put them on the street corner?
Well, they're there, you know, after it hits the fan, because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. So they'll be there eventually.
We'll put them there.
Prevent crime. They want to film it.
Well, that's the thing, though. They can be there as it happens. Imagine, you know, instead of doing their live team coverage after the fact, they could be doing live team coverage during the event. Point being, I think we agree that this is a stupid idea.
I could not agree more.
This is the same thing, folks, as putting police officers into a building to see if a fire breaks out. First thing the cop's going to do is go, whoop, fire, somebody call 911.
I'll take that job. I'll take that job. And you could pay me overtime to do it. I think that's a great idea.
But what if I told you it's in a fireworks factory?
I can watch it from across the street.
And you're required to smoke cigarettes while you're in the building.
I don't smoke. So you're painting me into a corner right now. This isn't fair.
There's no way around this, folks. If you support this idea of sending firefighters into troubled communities to try to quote unquote deter crime like DC is trying, please go on Facebook, look up The Happy Medic, friend me, and tell me why you think this is a good idea. And then if you get a chance, maybe just link to a news story of some place that they did this and it worked. Just do that for me.
Or, you know, take it the next step that they could come on the show and we could talk about it.
Or better yet, send me a picture of you standing on your own street corner in your own community deterring crime.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that Mr. Paul Quander does not live in the inner D.C. area, by the way.
I'm guessing Mr. Paul Quander does not leave his home after 10 p.m. unless it's to go somewhere for a social event.
That is quite possibly true. The other interesting thing I saw at the bottom of this article is the department employs about 3,850 officers. Really?
That's a lot.
You need more freaking bodies? That's ridiculous.
And I love how he said, if something takes place, they will not take direct action.
No. They'll just point and say, hey, over there, look.
Yeah, look, that guy did something bad and ran away. And when the officers respond, what'll happen? He went that way. It doesn't deter crime. It's not going to deter crime. It's not going to work. This is not what these guys are for. If it deterred crime, then nobody would try to finish the job of killing someone while we're on scene, which has happened more than once, when a suspect returns to try to finish the job because we're doing too good of a job repairing the person. People don't notice when the red lights are there. People notice when the blue lights are there. I don't know what color your lights are.
They're bright.
They're bright.
They're flashy.
But I have seen communities in my jurisdiction where not even the police being on a street corner deters crime. And they're armed.
Exactly right.
And putting four people on a fire engine at risk, because what you're doing is taking four people with zero training in properly observing a crime and getting a suspect description and what to look for. We don't know how to deter it other than standing there drinking coffee like we do anyway. And stuff still happens.
I think the perfect scenario would be to have both fire and the media there, so the media can film somebody engine jacking fire. Because it's not carjacking, because, you know, it's not a car. It's
cool. Yeah, but the thing is people don't know where we keep our keys. It's a secret. It's a well-kept industry secret that no civilian knows where we keep the keys to the fire engine.
Hey, I have seen more than once somebody in Hollywood hotwire a car in under 10 seconds. I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah, I've also seen more than one fire sprinkler go off in a building.
See?
So you know that's true.
If it's on TV, it has to be true.
So I hate to say it, but leave it to the District of Columbia to come up with something this stupid.
These are the same people that had Marion Barry as their mayor and then elected him again.
Dude didn't qualify for a job at McDonald's.
Brilliant.
But they reelected him. But, you know, that's the citizens that reelected him. And from what I understand, he did an okay job the second time. But this decision, I mean, we're better off taking hiring cops on overtime to stand on street corners. Or, like I said, better yet, MC, the community, people in the community, walking the streets, Neighborhood Watch. Is that still out there?
Oh, yeah. Neighborhood Watch is alive and well. You see those signs all over the place.
Oh, come on now.
Seriously.
I see the signs too. Are the signs a deterrent?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I equate those signs with those. There's a couple of different jurisdictions that'll have radar signs that have a little smiley face and say, "Smile, you're on radar." First time I saw one, I was 16 years old. I saw it and I laughed to myself out loud. And less than a minute later, I was pulled over and got my very first ticket. And every time I pass that sign today, I think to myself, "Yeah, shit. They were telling the truth." So that's my experience with the signs. So I assume if there's a sign that says Neighborhood Watch, I mean, we've all got the neighbor that sits out in the front yard, you know, for all hours of the night and, you know, kind of the neighborhood watchdog. I've got a guy that lives right across the street from me. I'd feel safe leaving the wife and the MC that's here all day long, and because I know he's keeping an eye out on the house.
Well, now I've been to your house, and I think it's safe to say, without giving away your secret identity and location, that you live in a much older neighborhood than I do, both geographically and population-wise, that your neighborhood is older. The folks that live there are a little older. I'm in a younger community.
True.
We don't sit out front. We sit inside and talk into headsets to friends on the interwebs machine.
Well, that's just crazy.
Yes. I think a lot of communities, especially these younger communities, aren't engaging as much with their direct neighborhood. I mean, I only know the names of maybe two of my neighbors. Maybe.
That's because you're a terrible human being.
I am. But that's aside from the fact that if I did know them a little better, maybe we would be out in the community more, and maybe if something was going to happen, I'd be out there and maybe I could deter it without needing to put a fire engine on my street.
That's absolutely true. Do you take walks around your neighborhood?
We do usually take a walk around the block after dinner.
You looking around, or are you walking around with your eyes closed?
No, we walk around and look around. I have yelled at more than one car to slow down.
Are you watching your neighborhood?
Yes.
Neighborhood watch, baby.
But here's the thing. Ask me how many people I've passed on that walk.
No, I will not play into your little trick.
Now there is one dude, now that I think about it, there is an old guy on my block, and folks, you know, MC, you mentioned the guy across the street from you. We do have a neighborhood watch, I just realized. There's an old guy that walks his dog somewhat irregularly. He's maybe in his mid-70s. Probably about 300 pounds, and he never wears a shirt.
Thanks for that, by the way.
See, you don't want to drive on my block.
I don't.
He is a crime deterrent.
Somebody thinks so.
Do you think we have time to clone him and move him to DC?
I'm going to guess that there are plenty of people matching his very description right now in our nation's capital.
Well, not Congress. I'm talking about people who live there like regularly, like are actual members of the community.
No, I'm gonna say it crosses both party lines and occupation.
I'm sorry, you said party?
Did I?
You did. You mentioned party.
Should I not have?
I think it's okay.
All right.
MC, great article. Thank you so much for bringing that up. And Police One, for mentioning that. And it's nice to see a pro-fire article over on the police side. Now, kind of tying that police-fire interaction in a little bit, would you like to tell our guests where you and I went on Monday?
We had the distinct pleasure of visiting the good folks over at Magnum Boots. It was very cool. Should we reveal our cars a little bit about what we've been teasing on for so long?
We'll mention what we talked to Magnum Boots about at the end of the show. We'll save that for the end of the show. But I just want to jump in real quick. Alexis was a wonderful host. Alexis and Brett, the marketing team there at Magnum Boots USA. You can follow them on Facebook, Magnum Boots USA. Twitter as well, at Magnum Boots USA. Good, get on there and follow them, guys. They actually maintain these social media sites, not just links every 3 months about a sale. These guys actually keep you in the loop on what's going on. You want to walk our guests through a little bit of what they showed us there at Magnum Boots headquarters?
Well, we went for a little powwow, a sit down, if you will. But like you said, we'll talk about that in a little while. But we got a behind the scenes tour of kind of what makes Magnum tick. It was very, very cool to not just put a face to the name, but to see the operation. We got to walk the warehouse floor and dodge, you know, pallet jacks and I actually had to stop Happy from sliding down a very spinny, twirly slide like a 5-year-old girl. It was awesome.
3-story twisty slide, guys.
Ridiculous. It was awesome.
I've got a picture. I'm going to post it here pretty soon. But if you had a chance, you would go down this slide. And we are told that next time we get to visit, we get to go down the slide.
Well, you notice at the top of the slide, there was that tapey machine. And I'm sure that's the technical term for it. It's the tapey machine.
You got to use the tapey machine.
I did. I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't write like a little love note to whomever was going to receive that package. Just, you know, heart MC.
Somebody out there is getting probably by now a delivery of Magnum Boots stuff that was taped up by Mr. Motor Cop himself.
Oh, my ticket. Good Lord. Totally.
Didn't make it in the box.
No, that's a shame. But I'd like to, if you know, we're going to put you on that conveyor to shoot you down the slide. I'm going to have to tape you up. You know what I mean? That could get weird.
That could get real weird. All right. Real fast.
All right.
Yes, but the Magnum Boots operation, guys, just so you know, it's not just boots. They've also got apparel and MC. Judging by the lobby, they are very much law enforcement centric. Am I incorrect there?
No, you are correct. I think it scared you a little bit. You walked in and saw the dude standing there with you know, a semi-automatic rifle slung.
Dude had a gun.
Yeah,
dude had
and then
two
we looked
guns.
Up and there's a guy rappelling down towards us and looked like fun to me, but you know. With the weapons, I think you got a little nervous there for a minute.
Well, I'm just not used to a guy in full body armor standing in dirt with shell casings all around him.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's just me.
I feel the same way. Believe it or not, I wasn't a military guy. I was a college brat, so you know. But still, you know, I like guns and military and all that kind of good stuff. And Magnum makes a hell of a good product, and they are they're all over the place. They were fantastic to us.
It was a great visit, but to see the kind of, for lack of a better term, lack of corporate culture that I expected.
Very much so.
I expected shirts and ties, maybe even jackets. These guys, folks, the folks at Magnum, and this may come out wrong, but are cash. They are in shorts, shirts, flip-flops. They're in there to work. Not to dress up and do the thing that I expected them to be doing, you know, pushing papers around and what does the market think? And they blew me away with how casual it was and come up and sit down and they've got what surprised me, MC, was when they brought us into the conference room and not only do they have all their products up around them, but they've got, I'm sure you saw it, on that glass wall that they have, just scribbled ideas.
Yes.
And out in the hallway, folks, they have pages and pages and pages of ideas and concepts and ads and this and tweak that. And anybody that walks by can grab it, make a change, and put it back. It's very collaborative.
Yeah, I like the team, you know, the teamwork aspect behind it is fantastic. Obviously, you and I are very used to working in a team environment. We rely on other people to get our jobs done, and it's really no different there. You know, somebody can have a good idea and walk up and say, you know, hey, how about this? And then just like you said, the collaboration and the suggestions to improve their product. And the other cool thing that I liked from Brett was that he was talking about, you know, doing product reviews and whatnot, and not just wanting the sycophantic response of, oh, this is the greatest boot I've ever worn. He wants to know what sucks about it. He wants to know how to make it better. And they're the same way with their blog. I saw yesterday, or might have been earlier today, where they said, you know, hey, we've had the blog for a couple of weeks. What do you like? What don't you like? What can we do to improve? And it's that kind of spirit that's behind, you know, their blog. Imagine what they're doing with their actual physical product. I mean, it's a great company. I was very impressed.
And you recall while we were there, I mentioned to them that not only were the Chronicles VMS staffers from early on wearing some of the Magnum apparel, but I was lucky enough to get one of their reversible high-vis jackets for Chronicles VMS, and I wear that when I'm working as a rescue captain, so I don't have to keep putting on the high-vis vest when I'm getting out of the buggy all the time at night. And I had mentioned to them that I'm wearing it because I like it. And it's not just because it was free. I've got a lot of other stuff I was sent for free that I haven't reviewed because I didn't like it. I wouldn't want it myself, so I don't tell folks about it. And that's kind of one of my rules. And the first thing that Brett said to me was, come on, be honest. What can we make better? And I remember thinking to myself, "What? That's cool. When was the last time a company said, come on, how can we improve? Instead of, thanks, do you want to buy something else?
Exactly.
And they – now let me kind of segue a little bit here, MC. They asked for your input on a logo on a PD jacket.
Right.
And they were asking if it could be subdued. What is the story behind that?
Well, the jacket that Brett pointed out, their label was on the like upper back, right at the base of your neck. And it was tonal, which made it matched – it was the same kind of shade as the jacket itself, so it kind of blends in. It's there, and you can
okay.
see if it's being pointed out to you, but it's not emblazoned across the chest where their product logo takes precedence over, you know, police or the patches of your PD or FBI or fire, whatever the hell else is on that jacket or shirt or what have you.
To avoid the Hello Officer Magnum.
Exactly. And because
gotcha.
There's a lot of PDs that, you know, uniform policies – where the products, the maker of the product's label is affixed, has to be in a certain spot or they won't buy it. And Magnum wants people to buy their stuff, obviously.
Obviously. And it appears from the way the factory was hopping, or excuse me, not the factory, the warehouse was hopping. They don't make the products where we went. They distribute them and develop them and whatnot. That place was hopping. A lot of people are buying those products.
Yeah, and it was funny because Brett even said that, oh, this is kind of a slow day. Looked like they were moving to me.
Yeah, if that's a slow day, I don't think we could have made it around on a busy day.
Probably not. I think one of us got flattened by one of them little pallet jack things.
One of them big pallet jack. Is that the cop word for forklift? It's pallet
sure.
jack?
Absolutely. They jack up pallets.
They lift forks.
Did you see any forks?
As Mitch Hedberg would say, I would love to see a forklift lift a load of forks.
That'd be
so literal.
Literal.
Yeah, and the nice drive out to pick you up, to take you out to the Magnum spot, which is what, maybe an hour away from my place?
Yeah, ballpark, sure.
Ballpark. We listened to Mitch Hedberg, Do You Believe in Gosh, the whole drive out, folks, and it was a riot.
Always is.
If you don't know comedian Mitch Hedberg, go to iTunes, get his stuff wherever you can. He's hilarious. But Mr. MC, what else is happening in PD land? I've got some viewer questions here, some listener questions, but what else is going on over there?
Honestly, just keeping on, keeping on, trying to do the regular thing and counting the days. We are we're 4 weeks out from full term, so we're watching the calendar. Pretty soon we'll be watching the clock, and after that we'll be watching watching the baby girl.
4 weeks for Omega. Man, I'm so excited for you. I'm sure everybody else is too. Just
nah, nobody else really cares.
Nobody else really cares.
Our entire family dynamic depends on your glee for us.
Yeah, my glee is working up. You know, I got beer in the keg now, so my glee
You son of a bitch. Stop rubbing that in.
Picking up. I'm going to keep rubbing it. Now, real quick, let's go back to Omega coming in. Now, MC, I'm sure some of our listeners are very well familiar with the Family Medical Leave Act.
Yes, sir.
It allows an employee to take 12 weeks of leave over a 12-month period to either tend to a ill family member with approvals or to bond with a new child.
Yes.
That is the law.
Yes, it is.
Now, in public safety, it can get kind of tricky. You and I were discussing this on the drive out to Magnum. What the law allows is that any time you have accrued, you can use. That's vacation time, time coming, sick time, comp time, whatever your department may have. However, it is at the discretion of your agency in as to which order you can take that time in. They may require that you take all your vacation time first, then your comp time, then your time coming, then your sick time last. Or, as in MC's situation, I learned, that is all superseded if there is an agreement between the employee and employer. In this situation, MC, correct me if I'm wrong, via memorandum of understanding.
Correct.
Correct. So you may not be able to take the time that you want for Omega, but you'll probably be able to make it work, right?
That is my hope, yes. I have 3 weeks of vacation built up. I blew through my comp time with the first two. We've been focusing so hard on paying off debt that I have not restocked that comp time. I've just been working a ton of overtime to make money and pay down what's left of our debt.
Take the money and run.
Indeed.
Indeed. Now, if necessary, do you think we'd be able to put me in your uniform? I mean, we'd have to get a bigger shirt and longer pants, but put me in your uniform in a car, you think anybody would notice?
Well, they'd notice if you were in a car because I ride a motorcycle.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Apparently.
That's probably not going to work.
No.
All right. Well, see, I'm trying to help and you're just shutting me down.
I appreciate your offer. But we'll work everything out just fine. And I will be home as long as I need to be home.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, should we take some listener questions then?
That sounds like a great plan.
All right. First question I have comes via Facebook, and it's from Karen. Karen doesn't have a last name or where she's from. I guess you don't have to do that on Facebook anymore. But Karen asked, please ask MC if a officer lights me up from behind, take that to mean what you like, and there's no place to pull over right away, how far can I go before I pull over safely?
The odds of us activating our emergency lights in an area that you cannot immediately pull over are not great. 99.9% of the time I activate my lights and siren, you need to pull your happy little ass over to the side of the road and stop immediately. It's not a matter of what you think is safe. It's a matter of what I think is safe, because I can't get in your head. I don't know who you are. You know, Karen may be a very sweet lady, or she may be absolutely insane and be carrying a gun. I don't know. But I want her to pull over as soon as those lights are activated. Now, in the rare exception that, perhaps you miss your first opportunity to pull off, and then you're entering, a 2 mile curvy road area where there really isn't anything good, which has happened to me a couple of times. Somebody misses the turnoff where they could have stopped safely. I'll leave my lights on and I'll get on the PA and I'll just direct them, hey, you're going to drive for about 2 miles. I'm going to stay behind you. Don't stop your car here. It's not safe. So I'll direct them over the PA to go where I want them to go. So if that's the case, you want to roll your window down and listen, because we may be talking to you over the PA.
Now that this is out there, this brings up a question I see all the time, is folks that they get lit up and then, you know, there's a shopping center or something nearby they could pull into, but they pull in onto the shoulder on the red lane. Are they going to get another ticket for stopping in the right of way or on the red lane?
Absolutely
or?
Not. That is, I don't care if it's red. I don't care if there's a fire hydrant there. I don't care if it's a handicap spot. It doesn't matter. If obviously there's not going to be a handicap spot on the side of the road. So that
you don't know. You don't know.
I think I do know.
This is a strange place we live in.
That's true. The point of it is that if the lights come on, stop your car. If I want you to go somewhere else, I will tell you that. But it's for my safety and the safety of the driver of the vehicle and the passengers of the vehicle that you yield, as law requires, to the right, not to the left, not in your own driveway. I'm almost home. I don't care about any of that. All that's going to do is just send off red flags in my head, and you know, things may go a little bit differently than had they just been, you know, your run-of-the-mill stop sign ticket or something.
Yikes.
I have had people say, well, I didn't want to stop in the red. Well, I trump all that. And so does every other police officer in the country.
Speaking of Trump and bad hair, I was just thinking of something. You mentioned many times when I was doing the ride-along with you a little while ago that those stop signs that are in the shopping center on the private property,
yes,
you guys could care less?
If they are leading onto a public roadway, yes, we care. If they are inside a private property and they're just trying to, you know, work the flow of traffic or something like that,
yeah,
we can't enforce that.
Now, but you guys can enforce laws on someone's private property if it's not traffic involved, right?
Yeah.
So if you're riding by my private property on your bike and you see somebody climbing in my window, you can stop and interject yourself into that situation, but not if somebody blows through a stop sign on private property. Why the disconnect?
I have no idea. I don't really have a good answer for that other than
I've got you.
A stop sign would be an infraction, and what you're describing at minimum would be a misdemeanor, so it raises the level of criminal activity.
So what you're saying is you care more.
No, I care about the stop sign just as much. Lame, I know, but hey, it's who I am.
That's just crazy because in EMS, we're required to give 100% to everything. We have absolutely no discretion whatsoever.
And that's why everybody loves you more.
I hate that you have discretion. I hate you for that.
And I love that. See, what people don't seem to understand is when I give you angst, it just puts a bigger smile on my face.
And I'm smiling too. That's what's great about it. Because now when I have a stop sign in the middle of a parking lot, I don't stop.
You can look right at me, flip me off, and drive right on through.
Well, I wouldn't flip you off.
I think you would.
No, because then you just wait for me to make the roadway and see I have a headlight out.
That's also true.
Exactly. Now, MC, you and I were talking before the show a little bit about something that the FRN crew did a little over a month ago, which is we attended a seminar for folks that were interested in getting hired in the fire service. And a number of the speakers talked about the oral interview. Yes, we're going to talk oral right now.
Sweet mother.
I'm sure there's folks listening to this podcast that are interested in a job in public safety, whether it be fire, EMS, or police. A lot of the content that we created through FRN at this firefighter workshop is going to be available soon. So folks are going to be able to listen to folks like Chief Paul Lepore, who is sought after by fire departments to come in and sit on the oral boards to interview people for a job in the fire service. So we're going to get a lot of that stuff out of the way. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind telling some of the listeners who might be interested in getting a job in law enforcement, maybe some of the pitfalls or questions they can expect on an oral interview, to maybe give them a heads up on what they're getting themselves into.
I can try. I recall it has been 13 some odd years since I've taken the oral interview. However, you know, when we were talking, you said that people would ask, you know, why do you want to be a firefighter? And they give that, well, I want to help my community. And
lie.
You called shenanigans on that. I will take a little bit of an exception. When I got asked, you know, why do you want to be a cop? I gave kind of a dual answer, which I think I covered in a post not too long ago about why I became a cop. And I gave the cliched answer of I want to help. And it's true. Having been raised as in the fire service with a fire captain for a father, you know, we'd go to trips. And I remember one time we were first on scene at a huge crash. And he hops out of the car and says, "You stay here." I was 16, 17 at the time. And he gets about 5 feet away, turns around, says, "You know CPR and all that stuff. Come with me." So that was my first exposure. And I stabilized some guy's neck while, you know, fire arrived and all that kind of stuff. And blood all over my hands. And it was awesome. So I really wanted to lend a hand. At the same time, I had a very self-serving reason, is that I just get off on that adrenaline. I mean, the adrenaline that was going through my body holding that guy's head, I was just thinking to myself, this is awesome. And then the other incident where I was a dispatcher down south, mm-hmm. and answered the call for a date rape. And I got to meet the victim, which is unusual for a dispatcher, but she was beside herself thanking me for getting police to her. And I said, I just answered the phone. You're the one that called. You should be the one who, you know, thank yourself, I guess. I mean, I don't know, but the fact that all this was going on, and at that particular moment in time, I was the only person on the planet that could have helped her. And that, I mean, it's egotistical as hell, but sometimes, you know, a little level of ego is good in this business. That's just my opinion. That doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it accurate, but it's been my experience. So with specific questions, they are going to ask you, you know, why do you want to do this job? Be honest. Be yourself. Don't try and come up with some, you know, overly cliched answer. But if you do have a cliche, make it personal. Never, ever, ever, ever lie. They're gonna find out, and you're gonna wash out. If you've done something stupid in your past, cop to it right away and have a reason for A, why you did it, B, why you'll never do it again, and C, how it has changed who you are. I think, you know, that's a good thing as well. They'll probably ask you know, here on patrol late one night, you stop a car with your partner, and, you know, there's a little bit of marijuana, and you see him pocket the marijuana and kick the driver loose, and that's it. What do you do? Well, duh, obviously you need to do something about the fact that he just pocketed dope in his pocket, be it confront him, say, no, hell no, and then talk to your supervisor. If it's got to be documented, document it. But they're trying to figure out, okay, popular culture says snitching is bad. But listen, my house means a whole hell of a lot more to me. My family means a whole hell of a lot more to me than what you think about whether or not I'm going to tell on you. So mm-hmm. that's been a big pitfall that I've seen people do as well. They're trying to balance the, well, geez, I don't want to tell on somebody, but that's probably not good what they did either. How do I make myself look good without snitching? Don't think of it as snitching. I mean, you know, they just committed a crime. That's bad. We don't need bad cops anymore. Thank you very much.
Certainly. And real quick, MC, for folks that are wondering, well, what's a cliched answer and what's a real truth answer? All they need to do is rewind this show to your answer as to why you became a cop. That's the answer they're looking for. Don't just say, I want to give back to my community. They've been hearing that all day long. Tell them why you want to give back. Don't just say, I want to give back. Say, well, you know, here's what happened. And then a story, a true story. Just tell them why you want the job. In MC's case, it was that memory of being with his father on that road trip and being in that situation where he could render aid and be a positive influence on what was going on, and that's what led him down the road to land in that chair in front of that interview panel, and that panel will remember you And that's one of the main things I took away from this fire seminar is that these guys fly into town for 2 or 3 days at a time, and they sit there for 8 hours listening to people say, I want to give back to my community. Next question. And it's not enough. It just doesn't fly. MC, am I wrong?
No, I wholeheartedly agree. You need to make it personal. You need to, you know, explain yourself. You know, the short answers aren't going to get the job done. By the same token, you know, my answers tend to be long and rambly, and that has not served me well. You know, I applied with 2 or 3 different departments and didn't make it past the orals in 2 of them. I guess it wasn't meant to be for whatever reason. I could look for divine intervention, or I could just say I suck at oral boards. You know,
You're a little mouthy at the oral.
Yeah, you like that?
I don't know if that's going to count for the explicit tag. Have we earned it? Have we earned it yet?
I coughed bullshit earlier.
Fuck me, I'm pretty sure we have. Oh, well, there we go. But the most important thing, when you're going in for that interview nowadays, and Chief Paul Lepore really pressed this home, they want to know everything you're doing in social media.
Absolutely.
So what you need to realize, and I did not know this, when I went in, I gave a presentation at this seminar, part of the Public Safety Training Group, PSTG, that we're working with, Chief Bob Atlas from Contra Costa County. I came in and kind of talked about the pitfalls of social media, and that you really need to be careful what you're saying. I told everyone in there, you know, there were maybe 150 kids in there interested in fire jobs. I told them that they need to be ready to friend chiefs and interviewers on Facebook so that these folks can see what they're saying. And I thought that was more than reasonable. You know, Chief Johnson might want to friend you on Facebook just to see what kind of things you're saying. And Chief Lepore did one better and said, no, Justin, I want their passwords. I want to be able to go into your Facebook account, see everything you've ever said, everything you've ever liked, everything you've ever done, and if you're not okay with that, maybe you're not the person we want. So folks, that's what's awaiting you when you walk into some of these rooms, is people that not only want to friend you on Facebook and Twitter, but they want your passwords. They want to be able to see your friends' friends, everything you've said about anything.
That's a pretty big hot button issue these days too, with, you know, the ACLU's getting all up in arms about it, and, you know, are there rights to privacy being violated, and et cetera, et cetera. And I suppose that's a discussion for somebody else, because quite honestly, I don't really care. But you know, if you got nothing to hide, hey, here's my stuff. Knock yourself out. I'm not giving you my password to my bank or anything, you know. But you can see whatever you want to see on Facebook. My powers that be know I'm on Facebook, as both as myself and as Motor Cop. They're aware of the blog, and, you know, they've called me in the office a couple times and said, hey, what's up with X, Y, and Z? And I've posted about that before, but by and large, they are extremely supportive. As long as I am smart, there are stupid people on Facebook.
There are stupid people everywhere.
Well, that's true. I was speaking more specifically of law enforcement and firefighters.
Oh, yes.
Again, this goes back to the interview I had with Gordon Graham a couple of months ago, and what, you know, the pitfalls we talked about. You know, picturing yourself doing keg stands and posting on Facebook saying, hey, I had a great, you know, wild party, and in the back there's some dude hitting a bong. Well, what do you think is going to happen there? You're going to be associated with drug activity now. So perhaps that's not the smartest thing for you to do. I'm not saying you can't do a keg stand. I enjoy the keg stand, but I don't take photos of it and put it on Facebook.
Hey, do you want to come over to my house right now and do a keg stand? Because I have one.
You think I wasn't leading up to that? Come on.
Yeah. But folks, in a nutshell, we'll wrap this up real quick. An old college buddy could put a picture of you on Facebook and tag you in it without you knowing.
Absolutely.
The most important thing is you need to be able to explain that photo to the folks interviewing you, because they may see it and ask you about it, because they want to ask you about it now when you're a candidate, as opposed to 6 years from now when some reporter finds it and wants to know why the fire department condones that kind of activity, why the police department lets officers on who have done this activity in the past. And it can really bring problems and questions into the department later if you don't address it now. So be ready to deal with whatever happens in social media now, as opposed to later.
All right, enough pussyfooting around. Let's jump to the meat of it. Let's talk about September.
September, folks, huge. Now, last year, everybody remembers in October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we helped out our friend April, Epi Junkie, whose family has been hit pretty hard with breast cancer. And she had sent out a message asking if anybody would give $20 to help her in her walk. We took it as far as we could. We turned the blogs pink. EMS for the Cure was everywhere we could get it. And we raised, I think, $800 for breast cancer awareness. And it was a huge success considering we put zero money into it. I was contacted a little while after that in November by our I don't know if you read his blog, MC, Too Old to Work, Too Young to Retire.
Yes.
Part of the EMS Blogs Network. I was contacted by him, and he said, did you have any idea that September was Prostate Cancer Awareness Month? I had no idea whatsoever. All I knew about prostate cancer was that they have to put a finger up your butt to check for it.
Whoa.
That's all I knew. I later found out that prostate and testicular cancers kill as many men as breast cancer kills women. I had to sit down when I learned that. That shocked me. And what bothered me even more was nobody at the firehouse knew that. And we share some pretty intimate stuff at the firehouse. And I'm sure at roll call or out on the street, you guys share some pretty personal stuff, but nobody's really sharing information that could save each other's lives when it comes to cancer prevention, screening, risk factors, things like that. Then you and I started talking about our love for all things Celtic and Highland Games, the Irish.
Indeed.
The Guinness.
Big fan.
The kilt.
Yes, indeed.
And it occurred to me, you know, MC, every October we are inundated with reminders that real men wear pink. To quote John Panette, I say nay, nay. Real men wear kilts. So, folks, in the month of September, MC and I are announcing Kilted to Kick Cancer. We will be wearing a kilt whenever we're not on duty, whenever we are contractually obligated not to wear it.
Indeed.
I think it's safe to say that. For the entire month of September, in an effort to raise awareness and money for prostate and testicular cancers, mainly male-specific cancers, throughout the month of September. Now, this kicks off, if folks are doing the math right and they're looking at their calendars, during EMS Expo in Las Vegas, which, MC, I will add, you very cleverly figured out an amazing way to get out of going to.
It gets cold in November. What do you want me to do? I'm a genius, but I'm not that much of a genius.
You are so scared to go to an EMS conference, you got your wife pregnant.
How did you know that at the pivotal moment that you were on my mind? That's incredible.
Well, I don't want to say both of you were thinking of me. That would be inappropriate.
The wife is drastically shaking her head no. Sorry. I apologize.
But the most important thing, everybody, is you can walk into a room wearing a pink T-shirt and it could say breast cancer awareness, but everybody's going to know why you're wearing it. And they're going to go back about their business. You walk into a room wearing a kilt, that room stops. And they think one thing. MC, what are they thinking?
Why is that dude wearing a skirt?
It's not a skirt.
Why not?
It's only a skirt if you wear something underneath it.
Oh, sweet Lord. What's under there?
What better time to bring up a discussion about male-specific cancers than when people are wondering if your junk is hanging loose below your kilt?
You have a gift, my friend.
I don't mean to be crass, but it's time to get crass. It really is.
You know, as we're talking about this, I looked up the color for – we were talking about colors for – you know, obviously pink is breast cancer. It turns out colon or prostate cancer awareness is a dark blue ribbon.
Yes.
However, above that, and we did talk briefly about this, the symbol specifically just for colon cancer, brown.
Of course it would be. And the number one response when you start talking about prostate cancer are butt and poop jokes.
It's a defense mechanism.
I was having an online conversation with a Chicago area paramedic whose agency has a bright pink ambulance. It's the breast cancer awareness ambulance. And all the nurses went running outside to take pictures with it. And I said, "Where is your prostate cancer awareness ambulance?" I'm all about equality.
Absolutely.
And he said, "Oh, we couldn't get Tootsie Roll to sponsor it." Which I hate to say is hilarious.
It is. And I still think they would shy away from being equated with poo.
But that is the response that men have when I say you're at risk for prostate cancer. They make poop jokes.
Of course.
So what I want to do is take the emphasis off the poop and make the emphasis the kilt.
Yes.
So you and I have noticed when you wear your kilt out during the day, it literally in maybe a 15-foot circle, life kind of stops and people just watch you walk by.
Well, it happens to me all the time, but, you know, yeah, sure, we'll throw the kilt in there.
Well, that's because with the kilt, nobody hears boom, ba, ba, boom, ba, ba, boom when you're walking by. Or when you're walking by in your police officer uniform, nobody hears the village people. Because wow. I would like to point out that there was no fireman in the village people, thank you very much. But there was a motor cop.
That is true.
We've discussed this before, and somehow we went from poop jokes to YMCA. But.
Really?
But? Yes. But I've been waiting a week to use that. Come on.
So how does this – what's this got to do with Magnum?
Well, we were at Magnum on Monday to see if Magnum would support us with our Kilted to Kick Cancer. And MC, what was their response?
I was flabbergasted at the immediate answer in the affirmative. They weren't just looking to help us. I believe Brett's exact quote was, "What do you need from us?" It wasn't, "Well, we can do X, Y, and Z." He just laid out a blank, "What do you need? How can we help?"
And that was more than what we were looking for.
Absolutely.
Really. You know, Magnum has their new blog, BLDG4801.com. They're going to mention it on there the entire month of September. They're going to get us shirts. They're going to get us boots. They're going to get us prize packs to give away through the month of September. Magnum Boots is stepping up huge to support Kilted to Kick Cancer. We're launching this at EMS Expo in Las Vegas. Zoll Medical, EMS World Magazine is also supporting this, excuse me, in their own way by spreading the word and getting the word out there and helping to get a lot of the FRN crew out to Las Vegas to help spread the word about this. And very special thanks to our friend Too Old to Work, Too Young to Retire for really opening my eyes about a risk to me. And also, MC, if I may, a very, very special thank you to Russell Stein, the hybrid medic, who is going through cancer treatment, chemotherapy right now for testicular cancer. And he's sharing that with the world on his blog. And reading his updates about what he's going through, he's bald from chemotherapy. You know, you see it on TV, the ladies with the breast cancer, they wear the scarves. Well, this guy's a firefighter paramedic, still active duty. And his hair's fallen out from chemotherapy. That's me. You know, I felt horrible when Brian Stowe got attacked because he was me. And now I've got a friend who's going through cancer, and I see myself. And it's amazing not only that Russell is entering this fight with a smile on his face, but that he's sharing it with the world in real time. And without the social media network that is around us, I would not have met you. I would not have met April and learned more about breast cancer and helped with that. I would not have met Too Old to Work, Too Young to Retire and learned about my risks. And I would never, never have met Russell and learned about his plights with testicular cancer. We can make poop jokes all we want. We can make jokes about, "Oh, I touch myself all the time. I don't need a self-exam." You do. And it's something that stubborn firefighters, paramedics, and cops need to realize. And this September, that all changes. And it'll change with a kilt.
Absolutely. I'm excited that it's starting with me and you wearing kilts. But, you know, next year, maybe there's 5, 6, 7 of us. The year after that, maybe there's twice as many. I mean, using social media and the blog networks and Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff, this could really become something that, you know, if we get one guy to not be worried about that doctor visit, but to just go and get checked, and maybe they find something, maybe they find it early, maybe he's going to be just fine because he heard a couple of idiots talking about wearing a kilt. That's fantastic. That's what I'm looking for out of this.
That's really all it's about. That really is all it's about. If we can save one person from having to go through what our friend Russell is going through, worth it.
Absolutely.
More than
and
worth
I applaud Russell for not only just having to go through something like this, but making it such a public thing and sharing it. And through his experiences, reaching out to other men that need to hear these kinds of things and know what their risk factors are. And that's, you know, in the next month and a half, we've got a lot of time to do some more research. And the other cool thing about Magnum that I was excited about the possibility of is guest posting on their blog, you know, give a weekly update about where we are, what we're doing, how, you know, Kilted to Kick Cancer is progressing and, you know, the kind of interactions we've had with people and sharing our experiences in multiple forums, again, to spread the word and really do it in honor of Russell. I think he's an incredibly brave man, and I applaud him sharing it with all of us.
Braver than I could be. I picture myself, if this happened to me, I would put something on the blog that said, I'll be back whenever and deal with myself and my family. It's more than I could expect from myself, and I applaud him as well. If you as a listener are curious to learn more about what prostate cancer is, please go to prostatecancerfoundation.org, PCF.org, to learn risk factors, frequently asked questions, anything you might want to know, and you can also donate directly through that site. Now, if some of our listeners are more curious about Kilted to Kick Cancer specifically, guess what? You can go to kiltedtokickcancer.org. We're going to have that up in a little while. Keep checking for updates about where Motor Cop and myself are going, how many more days I've worn the kilt than MC has.
Yeah. So, hey, you know what? I'm going to have an opportunity to wear it more than you because I'm going to be on family medical leave, my friend. So I'm just saying, I'll probably be off the entire month of September. So I'm going to have more opportunity than you. So suck it.
You can cheat all you want. When you're asleep, I'll just wear it longer. We'll also put up links
to... I'm going to have a new baby. What makes you think I'm going to sleep?
The baby better be in a kilt. But then again, you're having another girl. So then it would probably be a skirt because there'd be a diaper. It gets confusing. But guys,
I'm pretty sure there's going to be something on there anyway.
Big, big stuff coming in September. Motor Cop and myself, so excited about it. It was a neat idea. And literally when Brett said, what do you need at Magnum Boots? It was a big sigh of relief for us because it seems that giving you guys free stuff gets you guys to pay attention. And if giving you free stuff, or at least the chance at free stuff, gets you to pay more attention to your risks for cancer and what's killing us, then great. Done. Mr. MC, where can folks find you online?
You can find me at motorcopblog.com. Also on Facebook, just search MotorCop, or on the Twitter machine, MotorCop1.
Very important, the one.
Yes, indeed. There's some poser out there, apparently, that is at MotorCop. Whatever.
Poser. And, of course, myself, Justin Shore, you can find me at thehappymedic.com. On Facebook, The Happy Medic. Twitter, The Happy Medic. I think you get the idea. You can also find both our blogs with the rest of the First Responders Network at firstrespondersnetwork.tv, the only place where you will find emergency medicine, fire, and police grouped into one. MC, thanks again for a great show. I'm so excited about September. It's going to be huge.
Yes, indeed. And a huge thank you again to Alexis and Brett and all the folks at Magnum that are going to be giving us a hand with this, that you guys stepped up in a way that we never could have foreseen and could possibly have failed miserably at our little experiment here. But I think it's going to be a rousing success, thanks in large part to what they're helping us do.
Certainly. So until next time, MC, stay upright on the bike, and we'll see you next time.
Cheers.
The crossover is for information only and should not be considered established law or policy unless cited. Your hosts are simply tired of talking to us, the wives, so we just let them talk to each other. Win-win. Offer not valid in all territories, board wherever wine is not shipped. If rash develops, please call 911 and ask for Angelo. If desire to approve EMS lasts for more than 4 hours, consult your service manager on how to make it a reality. Please follow all local protocols and guidelines. If you try to defend doing something stupid by citing a guy who uses a cartoon and calls himself happy, perhaps you're in the wrong line of work.
Squad 51 returning to quarters.
Squad 51.